The readings for this Requiem Mass. The epistle is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians. Brethren, we will not have you ignorant concerning them that are asleep, that you be not sorrowful, even as others who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Even so, them who have slept through Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you in the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who remain unto the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent them who have slept. For the Lord himself shall come down from heaven with commandment and with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead who are in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, shall be taken up together with them in the clouds to meet Christ into the air, and so shall we be always with the Lord. Wherefore comfort ye one another with these words. Please stand for today's gospel. Just taken from that of St. John. At that time, Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. But now also I know that whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith to her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith to him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus saith to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, although he be dead, shall live. And every one that liveth and believeth in me shall not die forever. Believest thou this? She saith to him, Yea, Lord, I have believed that thou art Christ, the Son of the living God, who art come into this world. Thus are the words of today's gospel. Please be seated. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear family, dear friends of Mr. Chekas, today is a day of deep sorrow, the sorrow which you have gone through until this moment now reaches its climax, and how bitter it would be if we didn't have our holy Catholic faith, our faith which gives us the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the font of all consolation. He took to himself a human heart so that he could feel the same pain that you feel today. He lost his friend Lazarus, and he wept at his tomb. Our God's heart, it brimmed with sorrow, and he cried human tears. And today he certainly doesn't condemn your tears. Rather, he offers you consolation in your sorrow, by giving you hope, that hope that the Sacred Heart gives, the eternal life of happiness beyond the grave. As the Requiem Mass so beautifully expresses during the preface, in him the hope of a blessed resurrection hath beamed upon us, so that those who are saddened by the certainty of dying may be consoled by the promise of a future deathless life. And how great that happiness must be. Eye hath not seen nor ear heard the things that God has prepared for them that love him. While this does console us, yet there is an element here still of uncertainty. We know that God, that heaven has to be earned. It's that pearl of great price that we must be willing to sell all in order to obtain. Our Savior, he has told us, if anyone wants to be my disciple, if anyone will follow me, let him take up his cross and follow me. Our God puts us to the test. Our God wants to see if we love him above all things, if we love him more than we love ourselves. This is the one thing necessary. So we earn heaven only through a test. Why do I say this? Why do I bring this up? I spoke to Mr. Chekas the day that he died. And one of the last things we said in our conversation was he told me that he kept failing all of his tests. And I reminded him, Mr. Chekas, there's only one test that you have to pass. That's the only test you have to worry about. Did Mr. Cheikas pass the test? We have that well-founded Catholic hope that this good man did pass his test. Yes, Mr. Cheikas was one who did love God above all things. As one of his children told me, he was the most religious person they knew. God was the very center of his life. His faith was the very center of his life. The duty to God, to his country, to his family, was the very center of his life. And we see all of this, I think, most especially in his love for the Holy Sacrifice, the Mass, the very center of our faith. Where the body is, there will the eagles be gathered. The real presence of our Lord, the body of our Lord Jesus Christ here in the tabernacle, it was always there that you could find Mr. Cheikas. At the Mass, at benediction, kneeling before his Eucharistic Lord. He was always here because he understood the value of the Mass. He knew what the Mass was. He knew that it was the renewal of our Lord's death on Calvary and the source of every grace. And that is why he would go as often as he could. That is why he lamented that others didn't make the effort to go. That is why he spoke to me on many occasions about the lack of reverence for our Lord when people just come to the church and sit down and don't kneel or make a sloppy genuflection, or the people who don't take time out of their day to come visit or to come to Mass when they could. That is why he gave me, and I know others, books about the Mass. And he asked for sermons to be preached on the Mass. In this time in the hospital, what was it that pained him the most? That he couldn't be at Mass. That he couldn't receive our Lord. That was what was most on his mind. But Mr. Cheikas didn't just kneel here in the pew and assist at Mass passively. He lived his Mass. He took the Mass and he put the Mass into practice in his life. And that is why we can see in Mr. Cheikas the model of a true man, a strong man. He was cut out of a different cloth. There aren't many left in our world that can measure up to that man. The strength that he had. His children speak about the upbringing they received and how he was tough. He was disciplined. Do that paper route, even if you're jostled in the back till you're sick to your stomach. You don't need more water. You're okay. Offer it up. He was a tough man. He often complained about the softness of men in our times. But he could do that because he himself was tough. He was tough on himself. He was the man who looked for the unpadded kneeler, who lamented when all the pads came into the church because it was too soft. He was the man that wouldn't take pain medication, despite his MS and the pain it caused him. He was the man that jogged 8 miles every day until recently. He was a tough man. And in all of this, he was simply living the Mass, living the sacrifice of the Mass, learning from the cross what it means to be a true man, and then taking that into his life and living it. But he wasn't just a tough man. He wasn't just a macho man. That toughness was tempered in him with this beautiful delicacy, this beautiful courtesy and respect. And if you want an example of it, just look at how many hours he spent waiting in the parking lot to take care of his wife, going into her classroom to help her. Look at how he cared for his children. Look how respectful he was to the priest always. Yes, he wasn't just tough. He melded that toughness with that delicacy and charity of our Lord, which he learned at his Mass. And you die as you live. St. Augustine tells us that. And so why would any of us wonder that all of this showed itself in such a beautiful way as he approached his death? During his sufferings that he endured during his surgery, what was on his mind? It was our Lord. As his heart was opened up, like the Sacred Heart was opened on the cross, as he was parched with thirst, as our Lord was parched on the cross, Mr. Cechas was thinking of his crucified Lord, saying how he was a wimp. Look how much our Lord suffered, and I can't go through this. Our Lord's sufferings were always on his mind. And we know, even if he didn't say it, that all of those things he went through, he united to our Lord. Yes, and it is something that I know I've told some of the family already, but I'd like to repeat something which Bishop Fillet said in a sermon once. Any time that there's a likeness to our Lord in someone's death, a likeness between their own death and Christ's death on the cross, it's a very special mark of God's love. I don't think it's too bold to say that that was true of Mr. Cechas. As I mentioned, his own heart being opened up like the Sacred Heart, that terrible thirst he suffered, and then all throughout offering this and uniting it to our Lord. Yes, our faith, it teaches us that everything he went through, it was not without fruit. It was not worthless or pointless. All of that worked an eternal weight of glory. Yes, Mr. Cechas, he was a real man and a real disciple of Christ. Our Lord, as we know, he tells us that we who follow him, we will be blessed not only with eternal life, but with a hundredfold even in this life. And we see in Mr. Cechas this promise fulfilled. The hundredfold that our Lord promised in this life, it's right here, sitting in these pews. His children, his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren. Mr. Cechas, he made a choice in his life. He could have gone after a worldly career. He could have pursued pleasures. But instead, he chose our Lord. And he chose to serve our Lord by serving his country and serving his family. His family meant everything to him. His faith meant everything to him. And because of this, he received that promise of our Lord a hundredfold in this life. What a rich blessing he has been given, and his family, all so close to him, all standing here around his casket at his funeral. What a beautiful blessing. Did he pass his test? We certainly hope that he did, but at the same time, we can't forget to pray for him. The Sunday when I brought him communion before his death, we were talking, and almost hesitatingly, I think because he didn't know how I would react to it, he said that while we know that Archbishop Lefebvre is very holy, he said that he's afraid that not many pray for him, and he was lamenting that. And I remarked how Saint Bernadette, before she died, lamented the same thing. She thought, well, everyone will say, I saw the Blessed Mother, and so they're not going to pray for me when I die. And that was very difficult for her. And that's something we can't do with Mr. Cekas. We need to pray for him. That was what was most on his mind, certainly. We all know he didn't ask for flowers. He asked instead for money to be given for masses to be said for him. We must honor that. And besides those masses, say many other prayers for the repose of his soul. Mr. Cekas' death, we can say, was certainly very providential, though it might not seem so on the surface. If we look at the circumstances of his death, what were they? He was taken on the feast of St. Michael, to whom he had a great devotion as a police officer. He was a very active man, and we know that it would have been very difficult for him if he had a long, lingering death where he had to stay in a hospital for months on end. That would have been very difficult for him. And besides this, he was completely ready to render his life to God. He had the grace of receiving the last sacraments, of making a good confession, receiving Holy Communion. His soul was ready. And it's in that way that our Lord took him, because he knew it would be best. And we can say that it is in some way a mercy of God to take him in that way. But that doesn't take away from the fact that it is very hard for the family because of its suddenness. So there is perhaps a great disadvantage. You weren't able to hear what your father's last words would have been to you. Well, I think we can certainly surmise what his words would have been if he had the opportunity to say that. We know that he would have asked all of his children, asked his dear wife, to love the Mass as he loved it, to love the Blessed Sacrament as he loved it. In saying this, I'd like to tell you a little something that I found in the book that Mr. Cekas gave me. This was something he underlined with his own hand, something very dear to his heart. Our Lord told one of his saints, I declare to thee that I will be to him who has assisted at my Mass diligently and devoutly, comfort and protection in the hour of death, and whatever the number of masses he has heard with devotion on earth, such shall be the number of blessed spirits whom I will send to attend upon his departing soul. In the same chapter, he underlined a whole story of a departed soul who came back to tell his parish priest that he was in heaven, and it was because of his devout hearing of Mass that he's in heaven. And he exhorted the priest to spread this devotion. I think it's that Mr. Cekas would have said if he had the chance. Dear family and friends of Mr. Cekas, we need to look, I think, to the state that he was in when he was found. When the family came into the room, I think it says everything. What was in Mr. Cekas' hands? His rosary. That militant man who fought with the weapons of Our Lady. That rosary he had taught his family to say. He had the cross of St. John Newman. That cross of Calvary which he assisted at so often. That relic of St. John Newman with such significance behind it, because it was at the shrine of St. John Newman that he prayed with his wife that all of his children could keep the faith. That's what meant most to Mr. Cekas. His rosary, the cross and the Mass, and his family. Be assured of our prayers. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.